Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
So welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Shabbos Daf Tzadik Vav. We're right on top of the Omer at the first line. Says the Gemara, Omer of Asi, Shoinin. There were Tanoim who taught for us in a Braisa as follows. Klicheres Shiuroi Bekoyis Mashka. Klicheres, a earthenware kli, a kli made of pottery. If it receives a hole, what is the smallest hole which would nullify it somewhat from a kli status, from a status of utensil? Shiuroi Bekoyis Mashka. If the hole, the puncture is large enough, Bekoyis Mashka, to allow Mashka liquids to seep in to the kli from the outside, this is sufficient to be mevatel the kli b'miktzas, Rashi says, somewhat mitoras kli, it is nullified to a small extent, as Rashi says, because the kli from now on will not be suitable to be used for mechatos, to be used to put the spring water into the kli, and which is part of the process of making the paraduma water, where they would put the ashes on this on the spring water. So this kli is no longer suitable for that purpose because it has a puncture of this size. The Braisa continues that the small size hole of moitzi mashke, which allows liquid to drip out, that size hole is not sufficient to nullify, to negate a complete kli. Ela l'inyan gistra b'lvad, that shear, that measure of moitzi mashke, that small size hole, only has the ability to negate mevatel a gistera. Gistera, Rashi says, is a shard, a small piece of cheres, which is a broken piece of cheres is used to collect a drip from a dripping, leaking kli. So if this broken piece of cheres itself gets punctured, even with a hole which is moitzi mashke, merely allows the liquid to trickle out, which is a smaller size hole than koines mashke. So the gistra thus becomes nullified from its use and is no longer mekabel tumah. So we have this distinction. If it is a complete kli, then we need a larger hole, a hole which allows water to seep in from the outside. So if you place the kli on water, for instance, the water would come in from the outside. So this is a larger size hole than merely the hole of moitzi mashke, which allows water to trickle out from it. That is not sufficient to negate a kli sholem, a full kli. That is only applied to a gistera, a piece of cheres. So if the piece of cheres receives this smaller hole, it becomes batel. So that's more my timer. Why? Why when a gistera acquires a small puncture, you nullify it? Amar marzutu b'yidar nachman. Lefi, shein oimrim. Nobody would say, have a gistra legistra, bring a piece of cheres to collect a leak coming from the other piece of cheres. So we don't use a backup for a backup. So once this piece of cheres gets this hole, which allows the water to leak out from it, it's nullified, it's no longer suitable for use. One would not take another gistra to protect this one. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Right off to the side, which is six lines from the top. Shein oimrim habi gistra acheres. Nobody would go ahead and bring another, and say, bring another gistra, le gistra zu, to go ahead and collect something dripping out of this gistra. On the echta, to place underneath it, le kabbalah tipin, to collect the leak. Ava kli shali, but a complete whole kli, chosin alav. One cares for it. One would not simply discard it when it has a small hole, umishum nekev porta, loy shadulay, when it receives a small hole, which allows water to leak out of it, which is a much smaller hole than the halacha of koines mashke, allowing the water to seep in. So it's merely a small hole which allows water to leak out. One will not get rid of the kli, umanichan gisra tachtav. One will replace a gisra, a piece of cheres underneath it to collect the leak. So that is the basis for this chiluk of a full kli, which needs a larger hole to nullify it, whereas a gistra, there it's sufficient even if it only gets punctured with a smaller size hole. Continues the Gemara Amarula. Pligi batrei amaroim marav. There's actually a machlokes between two amaroim in marav and Eretz Yisrael, between Rav Yosi bar Avin and Rav Yosi bar Zavda, between these two amaroim. So this is pertaining to the halacha of Hechsher Zroim. So we learned in the Tzadikei that if edible produce becomes gets wet through the seven primary liquids, water, dew, honey, etc., it becomes susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah. From here on in, it can be Kabbalah Tumah, can contract Tumah, provided that this produce is disconnected from the earth, it's detached. But if it's still growing, then it cannot become Hukshal Kabbalah Tumah. Otherwise, every apple growing on a tree would be susceptible to Tumah. So it needs to be detached from the ground. Now what if something is growing in an atzitz, in a kli, which so the plant is growing in the kli. Now, if the kli is whole and complete without any perforation, certainly anything growing within it is considered to be detached from the ground and can theoretically become unable to mekabel tuma, can become hukshah if it gets wet. What if the kli has a puncture as a hole? So we're going to discuss now, depending on the size of the hole, perhaps we're going to regard anything growing within this flower pot as though it's connected to the ground, is considered to be mechuber, and cannot become enabled for tumah. So what size hole is required? So a machlok is between Rabbi Yisrael Bar-Avin and Rabbi Yisrael Bar-Zavda. Chadomar, ki maitzi riman. If the hole is a size, excuse me, one hole, if the hole is the size of a maitzi riman, which allows the pomegranates to slip out, in that case, anything growing within it is regarded as though it is connected to the ground, and therefore cannot become hukshah lekabel tumah. The other sheet holds, kisherish katan, as long as the hole has the size of a sherish katan, a small root, that is sufficient to regard the item planted within this flower pot as though it's connected to the ground with regards to hechsher tumah. V'simanach, let's give you a simon, a memory aid to remember this wide gap between these two sheetahs, between the large hole which allows the pomegranate to fall through and the small hole for the root. Echad hamar ve'echad hamamet. This is actually a Mishnah in the end of Menachos, where the Mishnah tells us that it doesn't matter. One who gives a lot to Hashem, one who gives a little, a large carbon, a small carbon, it's irrelevant as long as the kavana, the intention, the heart is there. Uvavachi chavin eslivu l'ashamayim. So this is a simon, large, very large and very small. Here as well, we have a wide gap between these two extreme opinions. When it comes to Hechsher Zroim, we have the Moitzi Rimoin, which is a large hole for the pomegranate. And this is in contrast to the much smaller share of the Sherish Katan, of the small root. So this is the second halacha we learned. When it comes to enabling the content of a flower pot to be Mekabel Tumah, to be susceptible for Tumah, it needs to be detached. If it is somewhat attached to the ground, then at that point, it's no longer susceptible for tumah until it gets detached. Now, the flower pot that has a hole, we regard the item within it attached, provided the hole is large enough either for a rimoin or for a sherish katan. Continues Gemar Amar of Chinna Bar Kahanim Shmei Rav Elazar. Klicheres shi urei kimoitzi zeisim. How can we nullify a klicheres from tumah completely? If it has a hole, if it attains a hole, a puncture, which is large enough to allow the zeisim, the olives, to fall through. Umakshisha, braid the rabba. So Makshisha, the son of rabba, Mesayimba, he concluded this halacha, Mishmei de Rav Elazar, as follows. The name of Rav Elazar as follows. Varei hein. So these kalim, which were punctured in this manner, which allow the olive to fall through, these kalim are completely negated, nullified from their kli status. They're no longer mekabel tumah, kiklei glolim, as though they are made of dung, made of animal waste, uklei avonim, stoneware, uklei adama, clay, utensils made of clay, which are not heated in the kiln. So these are not mekabel tumah at all. She'ein mekabel tumah, loy midivrei Torah, v'loy midivrei Sofrim. They're not mekabel tumah, not susceptible to tumah. Neither midivrei Torah, biblically, or midrabbanan. They're completely tar. So Rashi explains that the chiddush here is, even if he designates this klicheres to be used for large size items, for instance, for to contain remaining pomegranates, it's irrelevant. Once this klicheres has become punctured to this extent, which allows the zayis to fall through, it's completely nullified, negated, is no longer mekabel tumah. And this actually is a machlokes, because this is in dispute of Rava, who taught us on Daf Tzadikei that if the kli would be miyuchad l'rimoinim, designated for rimoinim, then it would not become negated completely because it's still useful for pomegranates. Therefore, it's still mekabel tuma, even though it receives this hole with this puncture which allows the zayis to fall through. But it all depends on the function and the use of the kli. So if it's designated to be used for rimoinim, then the kli is still mekabel tuma. So this sheet here disagrees and holds that halacha of designation only applies to a more important, prominent type of kli, like a kli eitz made of wood. But a kli cheres, once it receives this size hole, it's completely negated, nullifies its kli status, and is no longer mekabel tuma. Concludes the Gemara, a fourth halacha, a l'inyan tzomet pasul. However, when it comes to the halacha of tzomet pasul, this was where the kli cheres is sealed and it has the ability to protect its content from tumah, even when it's sitting under the same roof as a mace. In that case, even if it has a large hole, it can still protect its content, achi pachis ruba, until most of the kli becomes broken off, as Rashi explains, because the tumah does not enter the kli cheres from the outside, only derech pesach, through its opening, through its mouth. So even if it's placed in an oil hamace, the tumah does not enter through the various holes. Since the opening, the pesach, the mouth, is sealed with its summit puzzle, with a seal which is completely sealed, completely tightly sealed to it, that is sufficient to protect the contents from tumah. So even though there's a hole on the side, it's irrelevant. But that's only up until a certain point. Once it becomes mostly cracked off, ashi pach is ruined, most of the kli is disintegrated and broken off, certainly there's no kli present, and it cannot protect its content. Okay, to summarize, we learned four halachas. The first thing we learned was that a gisra, a broken piece of cheretz, which is used to collect a leak, if it itself is leaking, it is tar. When it comes to considering the thing planted inside a flower pot as connected to the ground with regards to hechshir zroim, to protect it from susceptibility to tumah. So if the atzitz, if the flower pot has a hole, whether according to one sheet to the size of a small root, or according to the other sheet to the size of a pomegranate, then we regard the content of this kli as though it's attached to the ground and is immune from tumah. We learned that according to this shita today, a kli cheres, which was punctured the size of has a hole the size of a zayis, is completely nullified, negated from kli status, which is actually opposing Rav's shita, who tells us that if this kli was designated for rimonim, then it still maintains its tumah status. And finally, we learned that a kli cheres, which is in a oil amase and sealed properly with a tzumit pasul, so its mouth is properly sealed and covered, it will protect its content even if it has a hole until the kli is yipachis ruboy, is mostly broken off. Hadron Allah Hamatzni continues the Mishnah. Hazorek Mishasayach Lushisarabim. So we know that there's a malach of Haitzah. Haitzah carries something from one Rishis to the other. From Mishasayach, private domain, to Rishisarabim, a public domain, is considered to be a malach of Daraisa av malach, a primary malach. Now we're going to learn in the Mishnah and the upcoming Gemara that just as other malachas have avos and toilades, derivatives, this malacha as well has toilades. For instance, zrika, throwing, that's not actually carrying something, it's throwing, it's considered to be a toilada of the malacha of hamotzi. Let's see the Mishnah. Hazorek mishasayach lishasarabim, if one should throw an object from rishasayachad out to rishasarabim, or in the reverse, mishasarabim lishasayachad chayav, is considered to be a telada of the malacha of hamaytzi mishus l'rishus, transferring object from one domain to the other, and he's chayv. What about mishus hayachid, l'rishus hayachid? If he throws something from one private domain to the other private domain, urishus rabim ba'emtza, and he throws it through the airspace of mishus rabim in between, Rabbi Akiva Machayev, he says, this case as well is considered to be a malacha, and he's liable. V'chachamim paitrim v'cham say, his pater, the Gemara will explain several approaches to this machlekes. Continues the Mishnah, so according to Chachamim, if he throws something through the airspace of his Rabbim, his pater. Ketzad, what is an example of this? Shteg zuz trois. So if he has two balconies, zuk neged zub Rabbim, that are opposite each other, on two sides, two opposite sides of Shusarabim. Hamayshet, if one should hand an object from one balcony to the other through the airspace of Shusarabim, Vazorik, or would throw Mizulazu from one to the other, Pater, in accordance with the Shita of the Chachamim. Because it hadn't landed in Shusarabim, we know that for the Melacha, it's two. There are two requirements, Akira and Hanacha. It needs to be lifted from one Rishus and placed down, Munach, on the other Rishus. In this case, Chacham maintained there's no Melacha that's taking place because the item is simply passing through the Rishus Rabim. There was no Hanacha, never landed in Rishus Rabim. So it began in Rishus HaYachid and ended in Rishus HaYachid. Therefore, there's no Melacha. Continues the Mishnah, but there's a Chiddush. Hayu Shteim B'Dita Achas. If both of these balconies were actually situated alongside the Rishus Rabim, alongside the length of Rishus Rabim. So picture as follows. You have two buildings built on the alongside the Rishus Rabim, with the Rishus Rabim running alongside them, and you have two balconies protruding from these buildings into Rishus Rabim. So once again, you have the building, two balconies, and the Rishus Rabim going alongside it. Says the Mishnah, so if both balconies were on one row, alongside the length of Shusarabim, in this case we have a distinction. If one was to pass something from one balcony over to the other, and it is passing through the airspace of Shusarabim, which is right underneath the balconies, but since it's alongside the Shusarabim, they're not on both opposite sides of Shusarabim, but they're alongside Shusarabim, in this case, there's a chiddush. Ha-moshet chayiv, if one passes, he's chayiv. Va-azorik pater, but if he should throw from one to the other, he's pater. Why? Says the Mishnah, shakach hoiso avoidas ha-levim. Because the avoida of the levim, the labor of the levim, when they transported, they dismantled the Mishkan, they transported the crush and the beams in the midbar, they did it in this manner. Explains the Mishnah. Shtei agolis, zu-achazub, shesurabim. So they had two wagons parked two behind each other, in Rishus Rabim. As Rashi will explain the whole configuration, so they were near the Mishkan, and they would transfer the Krushim from the Mishkan over to the first set of wagons, and then the Levi would take the Keresh, the beam, and pass it over to the wagon behind him. Shtei Agolis, there were two wagons, Zu Achar Zu, situated behind each other, two sets of two, so they would pass over the krushim from one set of wagons to the ones behind it. And they wouldn't throw it. So this is the source of this chiddush, of this halacha, this novel halacha, that even according to the Rabbanon, there is a specific case in which one can be chayv even without doing a hanacha rishus rabim. If he merely passes from one rishus hayachad to the other, and he's passing it over the airspace of Rishus Rabim, provided that it's being done alongside, along the length of Rishus Rabim, which is resembles the labor, the avoida of the Levim, who would also do the same. They would pass the krushim from one wagon, which was Shusayachit, over the airspace of Rishus Rabim, over to the wagon situated behind it. So they were both alongside the length of Rishus Rabim. So since this was done in the Midbar, we know that the Malachas and Shabbos are derived from the Midbar, from the Mishkan. Therefore, the chiddush here is that he would be chayiv due to passing. But the Mishnah concludes, this is strictly when it comes to passing, avalei zorkin. But in the Mishkan, in the Midbar, the Levim wouldn't throw the beams. Rashi says they were too heavy. There's another version, because of the kavod, the respect, out of respect for the krushim of the Mishkan, so they wouldn't throw it. Therefore, this halacha is unique to passing, but not the throwing in accordance with the Shitas Chachamim. That throwing across the Rishus is not considered to be a Melach. Let's see Rashi inside, who explains the background of the Mishnah. Let's begin from Rashi, from the beginning of the Mishnah. Beginning with the words Hazorik, Rabbi Kiva Machayev, Taim HaMafarsh, Gemara, the Gemara explained the reason for Rabbi Kiva's liability. Ketzad Shteg Zestroyes. So here the Mishnah is describing for us Rabbanu Kamrilu. So this is the Rabbanu speaking. So we have two gzestroyes, two balconies. Zizin, these balconies, these beams, hayetzim and akaisel, coming out, protruding from the wall, over Rishus Rabim. Umanichan leim nesar malach, they placed planks upon them for walking. Zu keneged zu, so both balconies were opposite each other, b'shnei tzidei Rishus Rabim, on both opposite sides of Rishus Rabim. Behem Rishus Hayachad, and the balconies are considered to be legally Rishayachat Shekva Yisud, Ruchav is Dal, they're 10 Tfachim high off the ground, and they're wide 4 Tfachim, so they are regarded as Rishayachat. So the mission tells us if one should go ahead and transfer from the two balconies situated on the two opposite sides of Rav and Potter, we don't find in the Melech HaMishkan this type of activity of throwing and passing from one Rosh HaSayachat to the other, v'rochav Rosh HaSarabim Masak B'Neim, from one Rosh HaSayachat over to the other with the width of Rosh HaSarabim coming between them, meaning we don't find passing or throwing over the Rosh HaSarabim over the width of Rosh HaSarabim. Shloi Hoysal Avoid Salavim Kach, this wasn't the manner of the work of the Levim, Lohishit Krushim Agol Agol Shabetzida, to pass Krushim beams from one wagon to the wagon situated adjacent to it, alongside it. Ela la'agola shafanel. Only they would pass to the agola, which was lefanel, shla'achareo, in front of it or behind it. So they wouldn't pass over to the adjacent wagon, the one that was right beside it. Rather, they would pass it ahead or behind to the agola placed before or behind it. Explains Rashi. So there were four wagons for the Bnei Merari, for the Levim, which they would use for carrying the Mishkan, because they, the Bnei Merari, were the ones who would carry the Mishkan, carry the beams of the Mishkan. Now these wagons would travel in this manner. They would travel in pairs. Now when they would dismantle the Mishkan to load up the wagons, so they would park the wagons, they would prepare them in the configuration in which they would be traveling. So they would have a pair sitting next to the Mishkan, one next to the other, side by side, and two side by side in front of them. So this was prepared for their trip. They were prepared in the way which they would go ahead and travel. Because they wanted to follow the Amud Anan, this this cloud beam that was leading the way. So once again, they would have the Mishkan here, and this was the Rosh HaSarabim, so to speak. This was the path, the road that they were going to take. So they had two agalis here, side by side, and another two agalis right in front of them. And this was the configuration in which they would go ahead and travel. So they would load up the agalis with the krushim, and then they would begin their trip, following them with honor. Says Rashi, Uperkei HaMishkan, those that would dismantle the Mishkan, Hoyimashitan HaKrushim, they would pass over the beams, Lo'oysan, to those Shal Shtei Agalis, HaSmuchas LaMishkan, they would pass the beams over to the people standing on the two wagons, which were side by side next to the Mishkan, Vehein Moishitin Lo'oysan Shalofneim, and they would take the beams and pass it further to the two wagons situated directly in front of them. So we see that they would pass along the length of Rosh HaSarabim. They would take something from Rosh HaSayachit, a wagon Rosh HaSayachit, from one Rosh HaSayachit over to the other Rosh HaSayachit, passing over the airspace of Rosh HaSarabim, but along the length of Rosh HaSarabim. Avos says Rashi, Agola, Agola Shabetzida. They would never pass to the Agola, which was side by side, which was next to it. Lo Yitzrichim Lo'ishit. There was no need for them to do that. Sharei Shteim Smuchas, the Berkei Mishkan, because both wagons were right near the Mishkan, right near the dismantles of the Mishkan. There was no need to go put something on one Agola and transfer it to the Agola, which was right beside it. So the transferring took place in this method. They would take the Keresh, they would place it on the first Agola, which was placed next to the Mishkan, and then the Levi would go ahead and pass it further to the Agola, which was further down the Rosh HaSarabim. So they would in fact be passing from one Rosh HaSayachat over to the other Rosh HaSayachat, passing the airspace of the Rosh HaSarabim, but this was strictly along the length of the Rosh HaSarabim. Continues the Mishnah, if both balconies were alongside, along one side of Shusharabim, Kaleimar Baliya Achas, they were the second floor, Bo'erek Shusharabim, alongside the length, Alpnei Abayis, V'yesh Hefzik Shusam Beinei. So, Once again, we're speaking about the balconies, which were situated, protruding from the houses, along, built alongside one side of Shesurabim, and there's some airspace of Shesurabim underneath these balconies. In this case, Hazarik Pater, if one throws his Pater, it's higher than 10 Tfachim. V'loy Matzinu, Zrika M'Shesayachid, Shesayachid, we don't find a similar situation of throwing from one Shesayachid to the other, Derech Shesurabim, B'Mishkan, we don't find this concept of throwing by the Mishkan, V'loy Ba'arech, V'loy Ba'aroichav, whether it's alongside the length of Shesurabim, or whether it's over the width, we don't find the concept of throwing. So throwing in any case is exempt. V'amoshet chayev, but if he passes his chayev, shemaitzinu ha'shata k'yotze v'lamala miyut, b'mishkan, because we do find a similar case of passing. Even if it was above ten tfachim, above the airspace of Shesurabim, we know that Shesurabim only extends up until ten tfachim. So we find even a concept of passing above the airspace of Shesurabim, above ten tfachim, from one Shesayach to the other, uksas erech Shesurabim b'mafzak b'neim, having some of the length of Shesurabim between them, as we explained earlier, shakach hoisa avoyis halavim, because this was the work, this was the labor, the form in which they would transfer the crush of the Mishkan, kinefarish v'azel, as the Mishnah explains, ketad matzinu kazuba v'dosan, where did we find this? Shebeshtei agolei zuach hazub Shesurabim, because when they had the two pairs of wagons, one behind the other, Shesurabim, parkei Mishkan, the dismantles of the Mishkan, Moishitin, they would pass Loisan, Shal Agolis, Shatzlan, they would pass the carriage to the immediate Agolis, Vei Moishitin, Leilu Shefneim, and they, in turn, would pass it further to the ones situated down Shesurabim. So this, indeed, is the source of this halacha, but they would pass, Avalei Zarkin, but they wouldn't throw. Why? She'ein Oisim Krashim Nizrakis, Mipei Kaivdan, they're too heavy to be thrown. Or, as there's another girsa here, Mipei Kvaidan, it's actually a Yerushalmi, that it would be degrading bizoyin to the Krashim to throw them. So we don't find throwing in this context. And therefore, we learn from here that if one would pass, he's chay, but if he throws, he's pot. So in summary, we learned that if a person throws an object from one rishis to the other, he's chay. Whether it's rishis yachad or rishis rabim or vice versa, he's chay. What if one throws from one rishis yachad through the airspace of rishis rabim over to the other Shesh Yachad, having landed Shesh Rabim, according to Rabbi Kiva Yitzchai, according to Chacham, he's Pater. What if he passes from one Shesh Yachad to the other Shesh Yachad over the airspace of Shesh Rabim? We're speaking about Bidyuta Achas, they're both alongside, they're both situated along the length of Shesh Rabim. All agree in this case is Chayev, as we learn from the Avoida of the Mishkan. Continues the Gemara. Michti, let's think, let's take a look. Zrika tolda daitzai. Apparently, Zrika is a tolda derivative of itza. Let's take a look at Rashi. Up on top, Michti says Rashi, Zrika tolda daitza. Al karch, you must say toldi. That Zrika is a derivative. Delay nimnis, b'aves malachis. It wasn't listed in the aves malachis. With tolda daitzai, apparently, it's a derivative of itza, of carrying an object, manually carrying it out. Zrika, throwing, is considered to be. It resembles that ma'isa is considered to be a teloda. She'enuchal esita teledes av acher, because you can't attribute it to a different av. The me'en hoitzai, because it resembles carrying out. Hamura b'aves malachis. So it resembles the malach of itza, which is listed in the aves malachis. So apparently, says the Gemara, we must conclude that zrika is a teloda of itzai. Let's take a look at the Gemara again. Michli, let's take a look. Zrika teloda d'itzai. Apparently, zrika is a teloda derivative of itza. Hoitza gufa hechaksiva. Now that you've determined that Eitzah is the Av Malach, the primary Malach, carrying out an item from Shesayach to Shesurabim is considered to be the Av Malach. What is the source of this Malach? Now right away Tais asks Akasha, what do you mean? We found it in the Mishkan, and we know that the Malachas are learned from the Mishkan. Says Tais, nevertheless, Eitzah is different than other Malachas, because it's a Malach Grohi. It's an inferior Malach, merely transferring an item from one domain to the other. It's not a significant malacha. He's not forming. He's not fashioning. That's crafting anything. So it's a malacha grohi. Therefore, we need another source. We need actually a pasuk the Gemara is going to bring to prove to us that this as well is considered to be a malacha. One of the 39 malachas. Haitza gufa hechaksiva. Where do we find a source that carrying out an item from Rosh Hashayach to Rabim manually carrying it out is considered to be a melacha. Hecha ksiva. Amar b'yechad amakro, as it says in the pasuk, Vayitzav Moshe commanded, Vayaviru kol b'machna. They set forth a sound, an announcement in the machna, and they told them to stop bringing the contributions, the nedavos for the Mishkan. Explains the Gemara. Moshe, hechan hava yosef. Where was Moshe situated? For machna levia, in the encampment of the levia. Or machna levia, which is Rav Mavoi. Now we know that that area was considered to be Rishus Rav, a public domain. Rashi explains because shahayu akoil mitzuyin el Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody was there to learn Torah. It was a populated area. It's considered to be Rishus Rav. So now when Moshe made this announcement, he says, announce to all, stop bringing these contributions. V'ka'amu l'l Yisrael, he told Kal Yisrael, le'safiku v'seisu, don't bring out and bring Mishas Yachash l'idchu, from your private domains, from your tents. Don't bring items and objects l'shesurabim, to me, to l'shesurabim. So apparently he's telling them that they may not do this malach of Yitzah, because it's one of the malachas on Shabbos. Says the Mahadi was on Shabbos. How do you know you're speaking about on Shabbos? Perhaps it was an ordinary weekday. Why was he telling him to stop bringing? Not due to any malacha concerns, but rather mishum, because the shlimu la malacha, because the work, the labor, meaning the effort, the donation effort has completed. It was sufficient. They didn't need any more materials for the Mishkan. It says malacha, I say dayim. So the work was completed, the donations was completed. So perhaps that's the reason why they should stop bringing their nedavos, unrelated to Shabbos. Says the Gemara, we have a Gzeirah Shavah, which teaches us, yes, this is Shabbos related. Gomar ha'avara miyom kippurim. We use the Gzeirah Shavah to connect the term of Ayaviru to the term of Avarta, stated in the context of Yom Kippur. We learn Gzeirah Shavah one for the other. Gomar ha'avara avara. In our pasuk it says Vayaviru kol ha'machna uksiv hasam, and elsewhere it says Avarta shofar trua. You meant to sound the shofar, the broken shofar. So it's on Yom Kippur of the 50th year of Yovel, actually. So they blew the sound of the shofar. So we apply the concept Zeir Shava Mala Halon b'Yom Asa, just like over there. The context is a day which is prohibited from Malacha Yom Kippur. Afkan here too, when the Torah uses the term Vayaviru, which is similar to Vavarta, we use the Gzeir Shabbat to teach us that here as well, it was on a day of Shabbos, Afkan B'Yayim Aser, a day which was Aser to do Malacha. And indeed, the Pasuk here is telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu announced, he told them, Vayitzav Moshe Aviru Kol Malacha, he announced that they should go ahead and make this announcement to tell them to stop bringing their malacha, stop bringing their donations, because it is Shabbos. And one cannot carry out from the tent, which is Shusha Yochid, to the Machna Leviyah, which was Shusha Rabbah. So, in summary, this is the Mokar, this is the source of the Av Malacha Vayitzah, the Pasuk, which says, Vayitzav Moshe commanded. Vayivriu Kava Machna, as a result, they announced this announcement. Stop bringing, don't do a Malacha Vayitzah because it's Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Ashrichan Haitzah. Okay, so we found a source, a mukar, for the Av Malacha Haitzah. What about Hachnosa Menalam? What about carrying in from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Hayachad? How do we know that's a Malacha? It's more Svari. It's logic. It's a Svar Michti. Let's take a look. Rishusu. He's transferring from one domain to the other. Mali Afuki, Umali Ayuli. What difference does it make whether he's carrying out from the Yochid to the Rabbim, or Ayuli, he's bringing in from the Shusharam to the Yochid? So this is learned from a Svara. It's a logical presentation. Says the Gemara, nevertheless, although Hachnasa is learned from a Svara, Miu, nevertheless, Haitzah Av, carrying out to Shusharam is considered to be the primary Malacha. That's learned from a Pasuk. Hachnasa, bringing in from Shusharam to the Yochid, is still only going to be a Tolda derivative. Because that's not learned from a Pasuk, merely from a Svara. Says the Gemara, Umichti. Now let's take a look further, let's analyze. Aha Machayiv, Vaha Machayiv. Anaitzah is Chayiv, Anachnos is Chayiv. as Rashi brings the first Mishnah, Shabbos Daf Beis, we know that the Ani with the Baal Bayis, they exchanged items. The Mishnah clearly tells us that it doesn't matter which direction it's going, whether interest is Ram or interest is Yachid, it's considered to be a Malacha and it's Chayiv. So why label this one Av, this one a Tola? What difference does it make? Amai Kerla Hay Av. Why does he call this one Av? Vamai Kerla Hay Tola. Why the other one is called a Tola? So it's one Av Kamina. There is a Halacha gramification. As Rashi explains, this Nav Kamina will be applied to all of its Malachis. What is the definition between Av? What is the difference between Av and Tola? What is the difference of whether we label it as an Av or a Tola? Says the Gemara, D of it. If a person will perform two primary malachis in conjunction, he does them with one helam achas, in one with one unawareness, one lapse of awareness. Inami, or alternatively, shtei tolas ba'ad adadi, he does two derivatives together. Mechayiv tarti, he needs to bring two karbanis. They are regarded as two separate, distinct malachis. However, v'i avid avet tolda didei. If a person would do an Av and a Tolda in conjunction, so he does them both in one go, he's only Chayiv one Chatas on both, because the Tolda does not have its own liability, it doesn't have its own independent Chiv, separate from the Av. So if a person should be over, transgress an Av and its own Tolda within this one period of unawareness, he will only be chayiv one chatas. So here's an afkemina, why we label something an av, and the other thing a tolda, is an afkemina for this halacha. Says the Gemara, Ulu Rabbi Lezer, the mechayiv atolda makam av. But according to Shitas Rabbi Lezer, who does not hold of this halacha, he holds that there's a separate chayiv for tolda, even when done together with the av. If so, amai karla av, amai karla tolda. Back to the kasha, why call this av, why tolda? What difference does it make? Says the Gemara, the reason is as follows. Hachtava b'mishkan chashiva. Any malacha which was considered to be a significant malacha in the Mishkan, karla av, that is called an av. Hachta loy havoy b'mishkan chashiva. However, something which was not considered to be a significant malacha in the Mishkan, loy karla av, that is not called an av, rather it's called a toldo. So even though it did take place in the Mishkan, but since it wasn't a significant form of labor in the Mishkan, it didn't have the proper chashivas, that is regarded merely as a toldo. Inami, another pshat, as Hesus points out, this pshat, the second pshat, specifically pertains to our discussion of a melacha v'etzah. Why is v'etzah called an av? And achnasa bringing in to shesiyachat called a tolda? Says the Gemara, hachtek siva, the activity which is sourced in a pasuk, like v'etzah, kari av, that is called an av. V'haydelik siva, however, the other thing which is not written, for instance, achnasa, kari tolda, that is called a tolda. So at this point in the Gemara, we have Haitzah carrying out, which is Rav, which is called a primary Melachan Av, whereas Achnasa is regarded as a Tolda, and as we began the Gemara on top of the Amid, Zrika as well is considered to be a Tolda of Haitzah. The Gemara will proceed with another example of a Tolda of Haitzah. Says the Gemara, V'hadisnan, now this that we learned in the Mishnah, Hazurg Dal Damas Mekoysel, if one takes a glob, for instance, a fig, which will get stuck to the wall, so he throws it against the wall. He throws it four amos at a distance of four amos in Rishus Rabim against the wall. Hazurik Dal Damas Bekoisel. So if it gets stuck on the wall above 10 tefachim mark, lemalam yitfachim kazurik ba'aver, that's not reckoned with. It's as if he threw it up in the air and never landed, because Rishus Rabim only extends up until 10 tefachim. Lematam yitfachim, however, if it lands below the 10 tefachim mark, so it gets stuck on the wall below the 10 tefach mark, gezerik ba'aretz, that is regarded as if he threw it on the ground. Va'azorik ba'aretz, dal damas chayef. Indeed, if one should throw an object at a distance of four amas on the aretz of Rishus Rabim, is chayef. Says the Gemara, zorik dal damas Rishus Rabim minal de mechayef. What is the source for this chayef? Omar Yosha Shekein Urge Yerius, because the weavers of the curtains of the Mishkan, Zerkin Machtein Zelazer, they would throw their needles one to the other. So they would throw it at a distance of four amis, or Shesarabim. So this is the source of this Chiv. Says Gemara, Urgen, the weavers, Machtein Lamel, why do they need needles? They're using looms. Ella rather, Shekein Toif Yerius. The sewers, the ones who would embroider the Yerius, who needed the needles, So they, Zarka Machtein Zazet, they would throw their needles one to the other. Says the Gemara, Vidilma, maybe, Gabi Ado, they have a Yasri. Perhaps they were sitting in close proximity to each other. They didn't need to throw it too far. Says the Gemara, it can't be. Because Matu Ado do Machtein, if they sit too close, they would prick each other with their needles. So apparently they need to sit apart from each other. And as a result, they would need to throw their needles at a distance. Says the Gemara, okay. So they didn't sit right on top of each other, but Dilma, Besech Arba, Vyasi, perhaps they were sitting within 4 amas of each other, and they didn't need to throw their needles at a distance of 4 amas. Elo Amar Chizda, Shekein Urgi Yiriyas, because the weavers, Zerkin Buchia Breyiriyas, they would throw the Buchia, this is a shuttle which contains the spool of the Chut Erev, of the horizontal thread. So they would toss it in between the two sections of the of the vertical threads. So they would throw the buchya through, which contained the horizontal thread. They would throw it through, and apparently they threw it at a distance of 4 amas, and this was a shesurabim. So we find the source of this malach. Says the Gemara, even if they would throw it through the loom, but this shuttle, this buchya, which contained the loom, which was unraveling, when he threw it, he was still holding on to the thread, which was protruding from this tool. So it was still somewhat in his hand. He didn't actually let go completely of this tool. That's not considered to be Zrika, which is Rabbim. Says the Gemara, Benischa Basra. Let's bring a right from the last section, the last piece of thread, when it completely unraveled. So the Bukhya went flying. It just let go. At that point, we have a Zrika, a forearm of Rabbim. Says the Gemara, why is it Shusarabim? Vabamakim Potter, Vabamakim Ptur Kazla. In between the sections of the loom here, there is no width of 4 tfachim. It's considered to be an exempt domain. It doesn't have a din of Shusarabim. Ella, rather, will bring a riot from another scenario. Shekein Urgi Urias, Zerkin Buchil Shalayan. So the weavers of the Urias would throw the Buchir, this tool, this container, to ones who needed to borrow it. So they would toss it one to the other, and do Zrika of the Aldamas Ishus Rabim in that manner. Says the Gemara once again, Vidilma perhaps, Gabbah Adod, you have a Yasri, perhaps they're sitting in close proximity to each other. That can't be. Matu Adod, Bechapas, because they would bump into each other when they would stretch, when they would tighten the hem of their curtains. They needed a stretching space for that. So it can't be that they would be sitting right next to each other. Says the Gemara, nevertheless, we can figure out a way they can sit next to each other. Vidilma shel chufi, yav mishalchvi. Perhaps they were sitting staggered. So they were sitting next to each other, but in a manner which they didn't interfere with each other's work. So you have no raya that they would throw something at a distance of 4 amas. Visu, another kasha. Mish ilu me'adadi. Can you maintain that they would indeed lend, borrow from each other? Vatani luda. Luda hatoras, a braisa. Ish ishu melachta hashem o'isim. The pasuk says that the Chachamim came, each person came in Melachtoi Hashem Oisem. We learn from there. Melachtoi Hu Oisem. He would only use his personal tools to do his craft. He wouldn't use his friend's tools. Each one was fully equipped. So this whole phenomenon didn't exist. They didn't lend each other their tools. Visu, another kasha. Maver Dal Damas. B'shusurabim. What about carrying? So we discussed throwing. Perhaps you have a raya from the Mishkan, but what about carrying, taking an object and walking with it? 4 amas to Sarabim. Menol the Machayev, what is the source for that? That there's a chiyev there as well. We certainly have no raya to that from the craftsman. Ella says the Gemara, rather one answer for both difficulties. We're going to have one source for both halachas, for throwing and carrying. Kol dal d'amas to Sarabim, any transfer of 4 amas to Sarabim, whether through carrying or through throwing. Gemara Gmirla is something we learned from a tradition. It was taught to us, brought down, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So in summary, we know that Haitzah is considered to be an Av Malacha, that is sourced in the Pasuk of Haitzah Moshe. Vayivriu Kol Bamachan, they should cease bringing their donations into Rosh Hashanah because it was Shabbos. We have 3 toldos, throwing from one Rosh Hashanah to the other. As Tosfos explained, that's learned from a Svara. Hachnasa, bringing in from Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, that too is learned from a Svara. And finally, transferring farmers in Rosh Hashanah, that is learned from Lachem Hashem Sinai. And these 3 last things, Zrika, Hachnasa, and Aldamis, are considered to be a Tolda of the Melacha of Itzah. Continues the Gemara, Amar Vida Mashmul. Mekoshish, the pasuk tells us there was a certain person that they discovered, Yimtzu Ish Mekoshish Eitz Mim HaShabbos. So he was doing some sort of activity with wood. Mekoshish generally means gathering. So the pasuk tells us that he was desecrating Shabbos, he was Chal Shabbos, and they punished him, they gave him a Chiyuv Misa. Now what exactly was he doing? Which Melacha was he transgressing? We have a three-way machlekes. Omer Vidam Shmuel Mekoshish Maver Arba'amas B'Shusram Hava. He was transferring, he was carrying the wood for Amas B'Shusram. That was his Aver. Masi Satanam, and a Bryce we learned. Toil Shava. He plucked, he detached. He cut the wood off the ground, and he did a Malacha of Toil Shava, of Kaitzer, of reaping. Rav Achav Yaakov Amar Ma'amava. The Malacha that he committed was Ma'amar. He gathered the wood together. So you have three opinions. Maver Abraamis, which is Ravim, Toilish, or Ma'amar. Says one of the Ma'amar Kamina. What's the difference? What exactly he did there? Says one of the Rav. Pertaining to the statement of Rav. Damarav. Matzase Migilas Dor Rav Chia. I discovered. I found a hidden scroll by Rav Chia. Rashi explains that at that point in time, they didn't yet record the Torah Shabbat Peh, the oral Torah. However, if a person heard a very interesting a certain halacha that he was afraid that it was going to be forgotten, so he would privately record it and conceal the scroll. He wouldn't disseminate it. So Rav says, I found this specific scroll. The Kosebe, and recorded in it was as follows. Isi ben Yehuda Eimer, Avos Malachis, Arboim Chasar Achas. So there are 40 minus 1, 39 Avos Malachis. And it continued to say as follows, Ve'ein Echayim Ala Achas. He's only liable for one. There's one liability on all, says the Gemara. Now apparently we're not speaking about doing it intentionally b'mezid, because certainly there's no chiddush. How could he get one more than one chiyuv misa? Apparently we're speaking about even if a person does it b'shogeg, inadvertently. Nevertheless, in this scroll there was a chiddush that there was only one liability, one chattas for all malachis. Says, how could that be so? Achas v'suloy, only one and no more. V'atnan, but haven't we learned the Mishnah? Aves malachis, arboim chasa achas. So the Mishnah lists for us all the malachis, and the Mishnah tells us, what is the number, what is the total? 40 minus 1. V'avinimah, we had a kasha. Minyan alamli, why does the Mishnah need to give us a number? We can simply read through the list. Why does the Mishnah need to give us the number as well? It's coming to teach us something. Varma v'yechon, shim asan kulam belam achas. The Mishnah is telling us, is hinting to us, that if one should commit, should transgress all those malachis in one period of unawareness, chayev akalachas v'achas. His chayev is separate chatas for each one. So the Mishnah is telling us that the most chatois, what is the maximum number of chatois a person could be chayev by doing malachis in one helam is 39. So apparently, Mishnah is teaching us that there are separate liabilities, separate chatois, one for each malacha. So that can't be pshat in the Megillah Star, there's only one chatas for all. Says the Gemara, Ema, say as follows. Eina chayev al achas mem. The Megillah Star, this concealed scroll, was referring to Chiyuv Misa, doing it amazing. And the chiddush here is that there is a specific malacha here that does not result in a Chiyuv Misa. Now, it's unknown. We're uncertain as to which one it's speaking about. Says the Gemara, but we do know something. Rabbi Yehuda, so according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which was that the Mekoshish received Misa due to him doing the malacha of Maver for Amos Rishis Rabbim, apparently, pshitale, to him it's clear, that Maver Chayv, that doing this malacha results in a Chiv Misa. So this is not one of those that are uncertain. Umas Nis, now the Braisa which told us that the malacha that he did was Toilish, apparently, pshitale, the Toilish Chayv. It's clear to the Braisa that Toilish indeed results in a Misa liability. Apparently Rabbi Yaakov who holds that the Mekoshish, he was over on the Malacha Ma'amar, apparently he holds, clear to him that Ma'amar carries it to a Misa liability. Mar Savar, Homiyas HaLam HaSavka. So according to one of these opinions, he holds that this specific one is not part of the Safik. Mar Savar, the other opinion holds, Ha, this other one is Miyas. In any rate, Loi Misafka is not part of the uncertainty. So once again, we have a suffix here regarding a specific malacha pertaining to the Chiv Misa. There's something there amongst the 39 that does not involve Misa. We're uncertain which one. Says the Gemara, that these three shitas, these three opinions, evidently hold that their respective malachis certainly entail a chiv misa. They're not part of this uncertainty. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. So who was this Mekoshesh? What was his identity? Mekoshesh of Slavchot. He was the person named Slavchot, who was from Shevet Menashe. V'cheinu Omer, v'ayu b'nei Yisrael b'amidbar, v'ayimtzu ish. The pasuk here refers to the term b'amidbar in the wilderness, when they found this person. U'lahalu Omer, and further down it says, avinu meis b'amidbar, these were the daughters of Slavchot, saying that our father died in the midbar. So once again, the term b'amidbar is employed. We apply Exer Shavam, Alahal, and Slavchot, just like over there. The B'nai Slavchot were referring to their father. So the Avinu Beis Bamidbar is Slavchot. Afkan here too. Who was the Makoshesh? Slavchot. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Amar Lai Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira. Akiva. Benkach u benkach. Either way, whether it turns out that you're correct or incorrect, Ata Osid Liten Asadin. You're going to be punished and held accountable for revealing the identity of the Makoshesh and associating with Slavchot. Why? If it turns out that you're correct, HaTorah kisses soy, the Torah concealed the identity of the Mekoshesh, and you go ahead and reveal it, you may not do so. And if it turns out that you're incorrect, and you incorrectly attributed the Chilul Shabbos of the Mekoshesh to Tzlavchad, if so, you're simply maligning this righteous man. Says the Gemara, what's the problem? Rekiva didn't make it up on his own, he learned it from Xerah Shabbos, the Torah itself reveals the identity of the Mekoshesh. Says the Gemara, Shavah Legomar. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira did not receive this Shavah from his teachers, and therefore he didn't agree with it. Says the Gemara, Ella. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, Ella Mehecha Hava. What chet, what sin did Slavchot commit? The Torah says that he died due to sin, Kibechetoy Meis. So what did he commit? Says the Gemara, he belonged to those people, Miviya Pilu Hava. He belonged to those people who ascended defiantly up to the mountain. This was after the Meragim, the spies, returned, and the Klal Yisrael felt bad that they believed their report, so they wanted to charge ahead into Eretz Yisrael against Moshe Rabbeinu's and Hashem's wishes. So they charged up the mountain, and they were killed by the Kananim, the Amalekim. So that was the chet that he committed. As Rashi says, this is not as severe as Chilul Shabbos. So Yehuda ben Seira maintains that it was simply this sin that Slavchot committed, but certainly not the chet of Chilul Shabbos. He was not the Mekoshesh. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with four concepts pertaining to a Kli Cheres. If it is a gisra, a broken piece, then as soon as it leaks, mashke, it is tor. When it comes to Hekshe Zroim, something planted within this Kli, this flower pot, and the flower pot has a hole, so the plants which are growing within it are not susceptible to tumah. Now, what size hole is necessary to grant the content this the status? Rav Machlekes, either a very small hole the size of a small root, or alternatively, a large size hole the size of a pomegranate. We learned that a kli cheres, which gets punctured the size of a zayis, so the hole is large enough to allow an olive to slip through, that kli cheres is completely tur. However, when it comes to the Tzomet Pasul, if it is protected with a seal, it can protect its content even in Oil HaMeis. Even if it's punctured and perforated, as long as the breakage encompasses less than the majority of the Kli. We proceeded with the Mishnah that taught us that if one throws an object from one Rishis to the other, it's Chayiv. However, if he throws from Rishis Yachad to Rishis Yachad through the airspace of Rishis Rabim, Chotir Akiva is Chayiv, Chotir Chacham, he's Potter. The Chum will agree that if he is moishet, if he transfers, if he passes an object from one Rosh Hashanah to the other Rosh Hashanah, passing over the airspace of Rosh Hashanah, provided that they are situated alongside, along the length of Rosh Hashanah, due to achas, they are chayev. The person who transferred it is chayev because it is learnt, it resembles the work, the labor, in which the Levim would transfer the beams, they would transfer it from one Rosh Hashanah to the other, from one wagon over to the other wagon situated behind it, along the length of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara told us that although Haitzah is considered to be an Av, because that is learned from a Pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu telling him to stop bringing their Malacha to Rosh Hashanah, however Zrika and achnasa, and finally the concept of transferring from his imshus ram, they are considered to be teilades. Zrika Tosis says is a svara, achnasa the Gemara says is a svara, and the dal damishus rabim that is known to Melachim Moshe Sinai. The Gemara concluded with the story of the mekayshish etzim b'yom haShabbos, who according to Rekiva was actually tzlafchat. We have three opinions which melacha he did. Either he carried four amishus rabim maver, or he did the melacha of teilish by detaching the wood, or gathering the wood, which entails the melacha of mamer.